AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's Dream Chess Motherfucking Podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Segre, this your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast, and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Dream Chess Motherfucking Podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go! It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
What it good be, hopefully it's what it should be. This is your boy, N-O-R-E.
What up, is DJ EFN.
And this is Jink Champs Quarantine. Make some
Quarantine Champs.
And right now, when it comes to, you know, what is going on in the world, I got to tune in to one of my closest friends, man. He's a Santiago just like me, man. Let's make some noise for my good brother, Killer Motherfucking Mike.
Hey. What up?
Now, there's a lot of things I want to discuss with you. The first thing I wanted to discuss was the actual Georgia. You know what I mean? For it, like, being the first place that I see that the country opened up. Like, how was that?
Not a good decision, in my opinion. And we, as a small business owner, we didn't open up. We're going to wait to June 1 and see what the health officials are saying.
And but that was the governor's decision, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it was the governor's decision. But to be fair, you know, I feel like there's a lot of there's a lot of national pressure to get America running again because the dollar turns.
Right.
So if the dollar doesn't turn in the black community, the black community suffers. And we see that. So imagine the whole country operating like that. So now the whole country is kind of operating like a working class or impoverished community where everyone's being very constrained with their dollar to dollar, right, not moving. You know, so it's like that. So my thing is I knew that they were going to try to open up states and get the dollar moving. And I knew that smart people were going to stay home. I knew some people were going to be forced to go back to work. Unfortunately, they deserve hazard pay. But I knew that some people were just going to be tired of it and wanted to get out and have some fun. And I feel like now that people kind of had those bursts, like if you look at, you know, there were people out in parks on the north side and south side in Atlanta. There were people out on the Upper West Side and the Lower East Side of New York. They were treated radically different, but I feel like people got a chance to get out. Now, just get back in the house and stay safe. I don't think the world is ready to be fully open yet. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, I'm going to commend you, man, for, you know, let's pop that bottle. I'm going to commend you. Like, you know, you could have been on one of those guys that just opened up and been irresponsible. And I don't want to say irresponsible.
But, you know, yeah, because I was going to say, Nori, the guys are not really responsible. Like, I got other homies who own barbershops, like my man Will Stam, who's an amazing barbershop owner here. You know, my buddies over at Infamous Tattoos who own the Infamous Barbershop. You know what I'm saying? My man Quick, who got King's Barbershop out in Porterdale. Like, there's some guys who had to open their shops, but they opened with, first of all, barbers are hygienic because they got to go to school and learn hygiene. So there's probably no, as long as you ain't, your barbershop ain't became a trap. Barbershops are usually very sterile. They make sure that their equipment is clean. But the stuff that's been added to the antibacterial stuff, be it on using new razors or spraying clippers, has been, now barbers are masking up. They're using a different set of gloves every time they cut. They're asking that customers be masked too. And they're doing the infrared temperature takers. My man Will turned on to that. So the shops that are open, I'm not criticizing them. As to some shops don't have the ability to do what we do. Like, we sell t-shirts and sweatshirts and lighters. So our rent has been our ability to sell stuff has helped us. And we're a brand as well as a barbershop. But I don't begrudge any barbershop that has to open, because the shops I'm seeing open are handling it in a very responsible way.
Now, speaking about Georgia, I see this documentary, which I never saw before. I never even heard about. And
Dwayne,
what's it called?
The Missing. You're talking about the you're talking about Atlanta's missing and murdered children. It was Wayne Williams, is a man convicted of even though he was convicted of killing two adults, he wasn't convicted of killing any children. But so if you're adding around, if you're sorry, that's one of my old teachers calling me crazy. But if you're adding around, say, I would say late 30s to mid 50s, you remember a time in Atlanta where it was like when the street lights came on, if you weren't in the house, your mother was she was up and down the street looking for you to beat your ass.
Because time did this happen? What time did this? Because I had never 70s. Heard of this.
It was late 70s, early 80s. Late 70s.
Because I'm born in 77. So, yeah. I mean, like.
But it happened for a stretch, didn't it?
It happened from the late 70s through up until, into like 83. I think he was arrested in 83, 84. But the thing is, and ground people who are on the ground who's organizing on behalf of poor people, period, will tell you that, you know, it never has really stopped, because there is a huge, when you talk about, you know, the sex trade, there's been a huge for years, people known as prostitutes, people who are addicted to drugs have disappeared, have been dying. Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to take anything from that story, but we have people getting missing in this country still. But with this, man, it was a black city, it was a black mayor trying to grow the economy, trying to make sure blacks had a fair shake here. And at the same time, what you had was these horrible murders that were happening. And this man, Wayne Williams, was convicted of it. But many people believe he's not the killer, and or not alone if he was. Many of us as kids have had strange experiences in Atlanta. I remember walking home from school, and me and my cousin were approached by two men and asked to come or give them directions. We literally ran off screaming. We were taught, make as much noise as you could, you know all your neighbors. It was a very scary time in Atlanta. You know what I mean? And that's never really kind of left our consciousness. If you listen to Outkast, Goody Mob, like that, you've heard it in the music, and it'll probably always be a part of a certain age demographic's memory.
Then that went over my head because, like, you know, like in cases of New York with the Tawana Brawley case,
yeah,
like, you know, like the Central Park Five, like you would think it would have that type of type of statue, like you know, that type of,
well, in the black community, it did, but it's what the deal is. It's not like we still got Ebony and Jet, you know what I'm saying, and the North Star. Like in the black community, it absolutely did. It was like, I got people who got, my buddy G got sent to Connecticut to live with his grandmother because of it. My cousin Antoine, you know, he got sent to our great grandmother out of East Los Angeles, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it was a national thing, but you being a couple years younger, it's just like people wanted to quiet it because, you know, quiet is kept. They found a black athlete in South Georgia, what was it, 6-7 years ago. The kid was buried. They exhumed his body because they were saying he was murdered. When they opened his body up, he had no organs in his body. And that's a real case. That's not a conspiracy theory to me. That's something Dick Gregory often brought up. And we have to, at some point, we're going to have to start saying, well, when these black bodies are popping up, where do the kidneys go? Where do the lungs go? Where do the hearts go? You know what I'm saying? Or why are there more black women on the streets as prostitutes and drug addicts being killed or murdered? Why don't we hear about it? You know what I'm saying? So there's something of value to the black body, the black body is of value too. And there's something that's always valuable about us, whether it's just, you know, what people appears to be a serial killer or what appears to be medical experiment or what appears to be other things. There's something that I'm always suspicious about in regards to when we start popping up missing.
Right. And so, like, how did you feel? Because you being a proud Bernie supporter. And yeah. How did you feel? I guess it's a two-part question. One, when Bernie dropped out. And two, what do we demand from Joe Biden? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not demanding shit from Joe Biden.
I was about to say.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about that shit. Like, I give a fuck about what we demand of ourselves. So if Joe Biden wants our vote, these are our demands of anybody, not just Joe Biden. This is our demand of a local prosecutor. This is our demand of a mayor, of a governor. So it's not of Joe Biden. These are our demands, period. You know, and so it begins to say to me, like, what are we demanding? Like, and the policy of Bernie Sanders was the policy I believed in. It's not just Bernie the personality that I was fond of. His policy. His policy is reflective of Dr. King.
Martin Luther King, right?
Exactly. In the Poor People's Campaign, but not even just Dr. King. The campaign, there's a Reverend Barber going around now. He's pushing the agenda of the Poor People's Campaign. Well, what's the Poor People's Campaign? What are people saying now? I need $2,000 a month. I need rent adjustments. I need these securities in terms of healthcare to make sure I have those. Those are my demands, period.
How do you ensure, like, once you make those demands for the vote, how do you ensure that they follow through after they're voted in? Because I'm sure that's what a lot of people are worried about.
You beat their ass up locally. And this is what we have to learn. You helping a party elect a president is a very simple thing, to be honest with you. It comes along every 4 years. All they got to do is sing around and dance and promise you some shit. But if you don't get what you want, attack their party locally. Run other people against their candidates. Flood their primaries with 15 different people. Have a local agenda that's stylized to wherever you are that's going to beat them up from a national side. Like, God bless any black Democrat running in Georgia. If you're anti-pro-Second Amendment, if you're anti-gun in Georgia and you're a Democrat and black, God bless your soul trying to get elected after what happened in Brunswick.
So really
black
quick,
people in Georgia, it doesn't matter what the Democrats think about guns nationally.
Right.
We're down here where we can be chased down while jogging and murdered by white people. What do you think black Democrats feel about guns in Georgia? If you don't start to nuance your local elections to fit your agenda, you're going to start losing. One of the most famous black Democrats in Georgia, a man named Vernon Jones, who's a man who demands and commands a lot of respect out of the African-American community and the African-American male community in particular, came out and endorsed Donald Trump a couple weeks ago. Now, whether you agree with that or disagree with that, think about that on a local level, how that disrupts the party. The party's going to have to handle him differently now. They're going to try to punish him. Then locally, black men are going to see him try to get punished, and they're going to buck with him. So the Democratic Party is going to have to do more than just talk shit and jive. They're going to have to deliver because 54% of African-Americans live in the South and 54% of African-Americans are displeased with whoever is running at the top of the Democratic Party right now because they're not trying to meet any real black agenda or any real black demands.
I think, but one thing, I think that that's the thing that people get confused, that they don't think they can affect change. But what you're saying is basically, look, you can affect change from the bottom up.
That's the only way it works.
Right.
It did not start with the Washington, D.C. bus boycott. It started with the Birmingham, Alabama bus boycott. You think D.C. gave a fuck about what was going on in Birmingham or Atlanta or Macon or Savannah or Charlotte? They didn't give a shit. But when Negroes got together, organized, and disrupted a local economy, it affected the state's economy, and that disrupted that state, and the feds are like, what the fuck is going on? Mm. What are you country-ass motherfuckers doing down there to get our money fucked up and get these Negroes so riled up that they cause them national attention? So locally, act a fool. Locally, run people against. Run better candidates. Locally, put money in the people you believe in. Your little $27 you did for Bernie. If you do that, you can win local elections with $100,000. You can win local election with $20,000 if it's a really small municipality, but you have to get home and you have to see who matches the agenda on your home base. There's a mayor named Ted, a white guy out of Clarkston in down here next door to Atlanta. He has one of the most diverse constituencies in the state of Georgia. He's going to try to take a Senate seat, I think, maybe. I'm probably going to endorse this guy because he was progressive enough to decriminalize marijuana 3-4 years before Atlanta did. He was progressive enough to understand that I have a successful strip club in my municipality. Let me make sure that people can come in and out safely without getting harassed by cops. He's a true progressive. So who do you think I'm going to support if they run for office? It's going to be him, because his policy most mirrors people like Sanders. And I know I can help him get elected, even if I couldn't do it nationally.
What do you think about Joe Biden? He just put out his
black agenda. I don't. I didn't like it. It's not good.
The black agenda?
It's not good.
What was it, like a blanket statement? Everyone is saying it's just
it's not good. It's not for real. There are no real tangibles. It's not good.
Right.
It's not good. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of Mr. Biden. I'm not a fan of the Democratic Party running 18 quasi-progressive candidates versus Bernie Sanders. What in this moment, what I'm a fan of is Senator Nina Turner and remaining steadfastly progressive. And I'm looking to see what she's going to say. And I'm looking to see what people like Tesla and Figaro are saying. I'm looking at people like, people within the entertainment circle that are really politically engaged, like the brother Charlemagne. But, I'm also looking to the people who on the extreme want the most for us. And that way you gotta give your organizations like ADOS, organizations like Encobra, people like Antonio Moore, people like Yvette Carnell, people like Dr. Cosby. I'm not Bill, but another cop. You have to start to look all around. You like, what's Minister Farrakhan saying? You get what I'm saying? Like, impress some of the people I know have been doing this forever, and we'll see what your impression is.
But what do you say to our people that, like, obviously that are against Trump but aren't with Biden? Do you suggest that they stay home and not vote, or do you?
No, I'm suggesting that locally, you look around you. And you say, what do I need in my community? And whose policy best addresses that? Right now, if you look at yourself right now in your community, you need free health care.
Right.
Your community right now, people who are as dark as me and you, are in Georgia, 40% spike after we opened up, 40% spike in COVID cases went up. Most of those cases are black people. Most of the fatalities have been blacks and Latinos. Do you not need Medicaid for all in this moment?
Right.
Basic universal income, which is something that comes out of progressive side, even though Yang introduced it, it comes out of progressive policy thinking, people like Sanders, even as far back as people like Eugene Debs 100 years ago. That comes out of progressive. Doesn't everybody need a couple grand a month now?
Right.
Rent control, to make sure that in times of hardship, a landlord can't just kick you out of your house. Does people not need a 90-day moratorium on rent and mortgage right now? And I'm a landlord. So what I'm saying is, whoever's policy matches those things that you aspire for, wouldn't it be great to be able to send your child? Right now, you done lost your job. Right now, you're fighting to keep your dignity and sanity. Your child is graduating right now. Your child deserves a free college education or free trade education. They worked their ass off in elementary school and high school. They made solid grades. They didn't get full rides anywhere, but they're smart enough to make decent, good adults. And this country's going to need people to build an infrastructure the next 20 years to be our innovators. Wouldn't you want your children to be able to get a free education, especially right now? to know that on the other side of that education, we'll have 20 years of prosperity in this country. So if that matches what you're looking for, find a candidate that matches that and vote for policy and not personality.
What if that policy leans towards a Trump?
Or what if that policy doesn't exist with either of them?
When you go in that voting booth, then that becomes your decision. But in terms of what I'm doing, right, I'm fighting for progressives on the ground locally like a dog. Right. I'm trying to make sure that progressives get district attorney jobs, that progressives get mayoral jobs, that progressives become governors. I'm trying to make sure that people who represent the class that I come from make sure that the door stays open. There needs to make sure a door, and a big door, not no little door, closet door, big bay doors, stay open for working class and middle class kids to work their way up the economic ladder and to return some of that prosperity back to the kids that are coming up behind me.
Okay, what's that picture behind you? What is that?
That's Jack Johnson behind me, famous.
Okay. Oh, the boxer.
Yeah, that's Jack Johnson. And on the other side, that's his greatest rival was a Canadian guy named Langford. That's on the other side over there.
Okay.
So I got them across from each other. This is the sofa that I'm sitting on. This from my grandparents. I was raised with this sofa, and I was raised with this chair over there. So,
All right. And now you and T.I., y'all recently, are y'all fed the homeless or y'all fed the community?
No, we fed the community. It's a noble thing to do either, but T.I. and I are from the west side. Right. His front door was, opened up the Bankhead. Mine opened up to Adamsville, but we literally grew up streets from each other, like a short walk. He went to Grove Park Elementary. I went to Collier Heights Elementary. Right there in this neighborhood, which is the Frederick Douglass Cluster. This cluster is named after Frederick Douglass.
Wow.
Right in this cluster, there is a organization called Paul Kids. A young black woman named Latanya makes sure that kids' primary needs, clean clothes, underwear, socks, health, hygiene, and healthcare stuff, and food, make sure that kids in that neighborhood get it every day so that they can focus in school, grow, and become. We're opening a restaurant right next to them. And we basically just partnered with them, helping them. Whatever help we needed to help Parker Carr, they always helped us and say, let's figure this out. So if they need help getting out there and feeding 500 families, going around to five different families, making sure they got products and money, goddamn, that's what me and Tip gonna do, And it's not just me and Tip. 2 Chainz did it out of his restaurant. Big yeah. Boy did it with his foundation. It really has been a movement of artists, the artist class in Atlanta, taking care of Atlanta. And I love and respect all of us for it.
Respect that, man. Respect that. Yeah.
Love.
Yeah. Also, congrats on that. Ooh la la.
That joint is crazy. Shout out Greg Nice premiere.
Thank you. It took me all in the world. Because if I would have called you, I would have had you on the phone for 3 hours telling you how much.
And the Ozark placement, too, is crazy.
Oh, world!
I knew how big the Ozark placement was when there's a PD here in Atlanta. He's a PD of a big station. He's a good guy. He's often tried to show love, like come out, do these things, but he couldn't necessarily play a lot of my music. But I didn't make radio music, and I got it, but he's always been good. He calls me out of nowhere like, yo, well, what's up with your new song? And I'm like, what's up? Yeah, the one on the back of Ozark. Yeah, send that to me right now. I think he told his mixes, hey, show us some love.
So, yeah, that record is so
Let me ask you a quick question on that topic. Why'd you only get Greg Nice? Why didn't you get Smooth B as well, just to be in the video?
Well, we don't know if there's a remix yet. And beyond that, it's just because we had that sample and that splice. And it was just like, because we could have just went with the sample, not even use Greg. Right. But we wanted to make sure Greg was shown in the video so kids would say, what is it? Because what I want kids to do is, what I realized we can't do is run the jewels. We can't bring everybody back to the 90s or late 80s and say, right, this is what it was, this is pure. What we can do is make it funky and dope and send you on a quest to find it. I know who Bob James is. I know who Confunction is. I know who the Barcades is because hip hop sampled and it sent me back down a pathway of Noah. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like I'm thankful to know Thelonious Monk because I heard Q-Tip talk about it. So for me, don't let our song be the end all and begin all. Make sure that you take the record. If your dad said, he sampled that from Dwight, go listen to Dwight and sit your ass down with your old man and y'all smoke a joint together and talk that shit. So he can tell you how it was better in his day. And you can be like, get the fuck out of here. It's RTJ.
Yeah, that shit is so dope.
Wow. So
Damn, I forgot. Okay, okay.
I wanted to go back to what you were saying, because I feel like, just to reiterate the point about affecting change from the bottom, when we're talking about, like, if you have two bad choices at the top of the ticket, you're saying go in there and vote down ticket. That's how you're going to affect change.
No, that's not. I haven't said any of that.
No.
What I have said is, once you get over the soap opera, who wins your national election? Come back to the sobriety of, this election doesn't even matter as much as my local election.
Got it.
And after you get out of the hysteria, if my team won or lost, go your ass back home, whether you win or lose, and support people on a local level who support the agendas you want to support. But Colorado, before the Fed said we're going to decriminalize marijuana, and they still have not, Colorado decriminalized marijuana. As a state, they were like, we'll be a rogue state. We see the opportunity to fund education through decriminalization. This is what we're going to do. You can do that in Georgia. I told a Georgia candidate that she said, well, because we're 35% black, then what we're going to have is the feds are going to come in on us. And I was like, well, the feds came in. I told her, basically, that's what happened during civil rights. Local municipalities start beating the shit out of us, and the feds came in and say, hey, you can't do this. This time you're just telling me the three feds are going to come in. But yeah, if the feds come in and raid us in Georgia to decriminalize it, then we finally can say, well, why aren't you raiding in Colorado?
All right.
And then you get to show the systemic racism. You get to show the two-partyism, because it would have been Republicans sending someone in to attack Democrats. But if you don't expose it, if we're not radical and brave enough to do it, why the fuck do we keep expecting it to come from D.C.? D.C. is concerned with the thoughts and concerns and needs of D.C. in terms of how we relate to the greater world, trade deals, who's at war, who's near war. They're worried about that. It's on you to worry about decriminalization in your state. It's on you to make sure, if you make up 35% of a population, 35% of marijuana contracts go to people who look like you. And the only way you do that is know who the fuck your school board member is, and your local county commissioners are, and your city council and your mayor, and who are you voting for prosecutor. And if you don't do that, you need to start doing that. You have a responsibility in a republic to be civilly involved. And if you do not do that, you can't continue to say, this is being done to me. Because okay, this republic allows all of us to be a part of the process. It's harder for some people. It's a shit show when you walk in your voting booth. And me, I'm used to seeing 16 voting machines. All of a sudden, there are four voting machines. And I know that the majority of these people are old people. They're tired. They don't want to be there. It's on me and others from the community to send chairs, so they can sit down until it's time to vote. But we're not thinking and moving like we're powerful locally, so we keep expecting our team to win nationally, and we keep having disappointments or rewards based on people who don't give a shit about us.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution.
the perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you say to these rumors? Like every time they say, there's like, it's a meme going around, like, Chicago, stay home. And it's like, the Atlanta, it says Atlanta's the one that came out, like, Atlanta's the guinea pig for the world. You think there's some truth to that rumor?
I think that if there is some truth, stay your black ass in the house just in case there is. Just in case. Because let me tell you, man, whatever problems hit this country, it's going to hit brown and black. It's going to hit rural and poor. It's going to hit people on the fringes worst and first. It's going to hit our community worst, and it's going to hit our community first. So stay in. Like, you cannot like Chicago's mayor, you cannot like Atlanta's mayor, you cannot like Jacksonville's mayor, you cannot. But if black mayors, I just did a radio drop for DeKalb County CEO, who's essentially a mayor. I did it in conjunction with Michael Thurman. Mike Thurman's a good man, right? I like Mike. If Mike would have called me for a dozen other things, I might have said, Mike, I don't feel comfortable with this. But Mike called and said, he said, the kids ain't gonna listen to me. I'm just the fucking CEO. He's like, Mike, at least they know, and they know you give a damn about them. Do the drop with me. And I got a chance to just say, hey, man, just stay in the crib. Like, I understand, you know, I understand your cousin might pop up, but three of your cousins at a barbecue grill is way different from 300 people in a park. You know, and what we really have to realize is it's like when you doing bullshit and the police come by. Sometimes you have to just stand your ass still and see what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It ain't good to start moving too quick. Right now is a standstill moment. Nature, the creator, whatever is over us is working. Whether it be through the streets got quiet and animals popped up. They seeing deer and shit in New York. Shit they never
seen. Birds are coming out. Yeah.
So that really just tells us that maybe we need to calm down. Maybe the earth needs to reset. And let it reset, and then we figure it out. But let's not be the guinea pigs. You know, let's not get out there. Unless you have to go to work. Go to work, come home, love your family. But we don't have to make excuses right now to be a guinea pig. We don't have to be a voluntary crash test dummy. Like the kids say in the hood, like, don't be a crash test dummy. You know, right. Let's not do that.
Now, with everything that's going on, everybody quarantining, everyone's watching Netflix. So I guess the $1 million question is, when is season two? Is it trigger warnings? What's it called?
Trigger warning with Killer Mike.
Yes.
The views have been going up since people locked in. Thank y'all, man.
I watched it more times.
Stripper Cola and Blood Pop are still growing, and demand is still growing.
That was my next one.
You know, I just got the Nation Islam just hit me. I'm buying a 50-pound bag of navy beans. They farm just produce beans. So, you know, black shouts out to my girl, Symphony Thompson. Every Friday, she hits us up this Black Friday. I'm in the car racing. I went to the National Drag Racing Nationals, the NHRA. And a white woman came up to me, an older black woman, pretty little pixie cut. I mean, white woman came up to me, pretty little pixie cut, and she said, it's hard sometimes. because of where we are, but I always at least manage to find a restaurant because every Friday we celebrate Black Friday.
And this is a white woman.
This is a white woman in North Georgia at the Drag Strip.
Wow.
Her husband's one of the most rich and successful people at Drag. And she says, we do it every Friday.
Wait, hold on, let me be clear for our fans. When he said the drag strip, he's talking about the drag racing strip. Because
oh, yeah. We don't get, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No Mississippi.
Some people going to take that part and be like, I had to care about it. I'm sorry.
Good clear.
I know my audience. Yeah, but go ahead.
Drag racing, y'all.
Yeah, we're definitely talking about drag racing. I had no idea that was even a thing to just say.
Go ahead.
But so this is one of the most white conservative places and simultaneously Black working class places you can be. And, wow. And two types of people that you wouldn't even think would be having a conversation are talking about Black Friday. They don't look like each other. So that's the possible. That's what this show did. And guarantee you it's gonna be another something of it in some form or season or something. We had to make an album. We got an album drop, Run the Jewel. So
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, one of the things when Puff said his statement, one of the first people I see repost Puff's statement was you. Remember? And why did you feel the need to repost it? And why did you feel the need?
Well, I reposted Puff's statement and a woman named Teslin Figaro.
Okay.
And Teslin is on Fox News often. She was formerly with Sanders in 16 on his staff and helping him make a way. Her and Marcus and Nina Turner really helped the Black community pay attention to who he was, thankfully. Teslin is about her people. She's about Black folk. So wow. She put up a statement saying Puff's demanding something of the Democratic Party is not the same as endorsing Trump, and she explained why. She's amazing. So I posted both of their statements because I need Black people to know when you free, you act like it. When you free, you don't let fear be the only motivating factor in your decision. You understand what I'm saying? That's almost how a pimp handles a prostitute. I'm gonna beat you, but them niggas on the strip will kill you. Right. So in her mind, as long as he's just hitting me, not putting a knife to my throat, there's a possibility he loves me. And what we're saying right now as a community is we don't want to be your side chick. We don't want to be your other option. We don't want to be your law dependable bitch when you go to prison, you take it. We want to be regarded as a people. We want to be regarded as a people worthy of something in exchange for our voting block. And if not, you're going to potentially lose us. And okay. Teslin explains that in a street way better than anybody else I've ever known. This sister knows people on both sides of the color fence in L.A. This people is respecting the streets from Oklahoma to Houston, Texas. And this people, she doesn't bullshit on behalf of our people. So she's the person that I retweeted along with Puff and I put up on my Insta because I want Black people to have different people to look to for leadership. In these times, look to Nina Turner for leadership. In this time, look to Teslin Figaro for leadership. In these times, listen to who's telling you the truth. Listen to Charlemagne. He's your Dan Rather of this time. As crazy as it may sound, you should be looking at people like Lil Duval, who can give you some great advice for how to not take life so seriously and enjoy the moment. Like, these are the times where you have alternative media, meaning you don't look at TV, you look at your phone. There's time for alternative voices and a total line of people who work for either side that are telling you what to do.
But what do you say to people? I know I asked you this earlier in a different type of way. What do you say to people who feel like they have no choice other than Biden at this point?
I don't say anything to them. Yeah. I'm not.
He's saying have your own choice. Whatever your choice is, your choice.
Yeah, I worked for the campaign I believed in based on the policy that I believed in. Okay. I will find parts of that policy other places to support, or I will not, and I will not support those places.
Do you believe in any way about the outside influence in terms of like the whole Russia stuff and all that stuff? Do you believe that has any kind of impact?
I believe it.
I saw with my own two eyes the DNC purposely take measures to sabotage Bernie Sanders.
So it's not out of the question that can come from another country as well?
No. Listen to what I'm telling you.
Okay.
I was on the floor when surrogates in 2015 were walked out to speak on the behalf of them candidates. And I was one of the camp surrogates that was held out just enough time to lose press for Sanders before the DNC would allow us in as they allowed Clinton.
Mm.
So what I'm telling you is we have unequivocal proof that's been told by other Democrats that the Dems in 2015-16 sabotaged Sandy. I know that to be true. Why am I having a discussion with Russians when I have the truth of an American organization sabotaging the best chances of their candidate who could have won? And the problem is, if he wins, he radically transforms their party. And it's almost as they're like saying, nah, I'd rather my party stay the same and take the L.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So yeah. I haven't been afraid of Russia since Rocky III.
Right, right.
I haven't been afraid of Russia since I watched Red Dawn and we won at the end.
Right.
What I am terribly afraid of is that the things that are gratuitously obvious to us that are true, that we are not active about.
Right. Yeah, you and T.I. got the best vocabulary in the world.
let me tell y'all something. I got to shout out Dr. Samuel Hill. Tip and me both went to Frederick Douglass High School. And I'm going to tell you, our vocabulary pales in comparison to Dr. D. He's probably the person Tip heard expeditiously from, because he would come down the hallway, let's get the classes expeditiously, son. You know what I mean? So we went to a time where Atlanta high schools were great, and they took a lot of pride. So, you know, a nigga could be in the trap, and he knew some three-syllable words as well.
Let me tell you something, man. I told you me and Tip, we had to get on the phone and, like, you know, iron something out. So we got on the phone. We spoke. But you know, he had to get something off his chest.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. If you ever get cursed out in the world, which is the two people you want to get cursed out from? A South nigga, when that South accent just come out, they can't help it. And a Crip. If you ever get cursed out by a Crip, yo, Collins, I kid you not. The thing about it is, like, it's us with the dead ass and the New York shit. Like, yeah. It's the same as that. But, like, when a South niggas, they just cut so much corners in how they just get to the point. Pussy ass nigga, hey, nigga.
I know you heard of pussy nigga, fuck nigga, fuck ass nigga, fuck this sucker ass nigga. Yeah, I already know. This ain't even about a bitch. Fuck these whole ass nigga. Listen, man, I done heard, if I was Alan bitch out, like, yeah, I love Southern niggas arguing, man.
Yo, it's listen.
A thing, man. The Crip, you ain't lying. You ain't Crip.
If you see a Crip mad, like, and their vocabulary is, like, so crazy because their vocabulary is so, like, it just, you're on neighborhood, cuz. That's the two best you can ever get. Like, you don't ever want to get cursed out, but if you ever get cursed out by a street niggas, you want the street nigga to be from the South, because at least it's going to be entertaining, and then you want the nigga to be a physical grip. I'm just saying.
Hey, let me tell you, man, like, Pimp C, man, I got a chance to hear Pimp C curse a few times in Magic, man. Like,
As many times I've been around Pimp C, I've never been around Pimp C mad. Not once.
I was around when I'm not even mad. Him just talking this with disdain about him.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah. It was, ooh, shit.
I tell you some cool shit. I forget what they did, how much they charged us, but we went and we gave them the check, and Pimp C gave me back the check. He said, I just wanted to see if you're going to come with it. I said, oh, shit. I said, oh, man, it's been cool ever since.
I love Pimp.
Well, you about to,
rest
you
in peace, Pimp C.
I love Pimp. I always tell people, rest in peace, Pimp, and long live the bun, man.
Long live bun, man.
For life.
Yeah. I see bun, the sneaker game is still crazy. Big up to bun. Big up, you know, Pimp, we love you. But now, with everybody being home, everybody is tuned into this one show, and this one show is called Versus. So I would be crazy not to ask you. If one thing I know about you, you love being from the South. I love being from the East Coast. You love being from Atlanta. I love being from New York. And I don't care for where we at, we are always going to represent. You had a party the other day. I was just watching how South you was. I was like, wow, my nigga's really, really South. Like, you know, you forget sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. Like, I was almost jealous. Like, yo, just remember, you're New York.
No, listen. This is the thing, man. So, DJ Swift was DJing, Outkast DJ, and and Big Boys DJ, and like they were the generation before us, so right. they were not the Grandmaster Flash and Marley. They were, say, the
Primo,
the Houdini. They were not even Houdini. They were like Kool Moe Dee. They were like Just Ice.
No,
but not even L, because they were just before the big at the
okay.
You know?
Okay.
So, but they were LL in terms of what they was listening to. But I'm talking about who they were. They right. represented the Just Ice generation shit. So he's a militant about making sure you always represent fucking South. Like, you know, like he DJs for Outkast, but he's always gonna make sure that he's spinning. You know that that was music before. So he went on a Southern run.
A history lesson.
I love it.
And it was a strip club jamming, thugged out run. And I seen Nori hit and yo,
I learned my lesson.
Let New York in the club.
Let me tell you something. This is when I know I'm not from the South. I lived in the South almost 14 years, let's be clear.
Yeah.
But I know I'm not from the South. When they play records that I'm supposed to know and I don't know it, I'm like, he went too far South. Listen, I know commercial South.
At the point he played Get That Bitch, which you have no idea. But if I'm gonna tell you the club in Atlanta on my side, and we're gonna play Get That Bitch in a club. Get that bitch, man. Get that bitch, man. Get that bitch. Get that motherfucking bitch, man. When that came on, I was just like, we're probably not letting New York in the club.
Miami's the same way. Like, there's records that they'll play in Miami, and I be swearing, like, I lived out here this long, and I be looking like,
I never heard this one.
Yeah, I never heard that. And I swear I'm a historian, so I be swearing I'm supposed to know. So that night, he was playing, you right, the DJ was playing certain joints. And I'm sitting back like, I heard that joint, but I don't know who that artist.
Every region got their own history.
He cursed me out last week because I got a 96 Impala. Right. And I pulled up on him. And I was like, the system you took me to these dudes. I was like, it ain't hitting right. I got to go to somebody else. He said, what you playing? I said, I'm playing Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory. Nigga cussed me out.
That's why your shit is
what? He was like, the fuck wrong with you? He's like, man, you supposed to be playing some shit like Nemesis, Luke, the Dolls. He said, you big and Drake kill me. Y'all said, come on, motherfuckers. Hey.
Real South shit. I have to ask you, if Versus came around, and you had a chance to square off, whether it's the person you like, a person you don't like, or whatever, just musically, what do you think Killer Mike matches up with out of everyone?
Man, for me, you'll have to go like, I wouldn't do the Verses, because all the people whose music I love enough to play, they gonna kill me. But I just want to be with them just to hear their shit. Like, when you start talking to me, man, I want to hear, if I had my ultimate Verses matches, I'd be like, man, I just want to hear 20 songs by Scarface, 20 songs by motherfucking Ice Cube. You know what I'm saying?
Scarface against Ice Cube?
That's insanity.
Not even against, because I don't even look at it.
No, it's just classic, like, just hearing the music.
I need a chance to hear 40 records.
Yeah.
Give me 20 by Cube, 20 by Face. Give me 20 by the Beatnuts, 20 by the Alcoholics. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good battle.
Yeah, and I'm just so for me, you know, New York, you guys approach things on the battle aspect. And in the South, we approach it just on the jamming aspect.
You're approaching it on some celebration tip right now. Yeah, right now, I'm on a celebration tip.
Yeah, so for me, it's like, man, let me get 20 Rough Riders, 20 No Limits. You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine that part, how lit that shit gonna be. You know what I'm saying? Like,
The only two people that went too far was from Atlanta. It was Dream and Sean Guy.
I Dream is from Atlanta. I think Sean moved.
I thought Sean was from Atlanta. No,
I think he moved here. No disrespect.
Oh, he moved here? I seen him in Hip Hop Love Atlanta.
Yeah, we can't be responsible for everybody.
Hip Hop somewhere. They are claiming him somewhere. Yeah. A part of Atlanta is claiming him.
No. A part of Metro Atlanta. I'm from Atlanta. Yeah, I don't even say the second T in Atlanta. I'm from Atlanta. I'm not from the Metro. I didn't grow up outside of 285. All the schools I went to were named for black people. I didn't have a white neighbor until I got rich. Right. Yeah, I didn't.
I'm from Atlanta. Bigger the dream. But if you had one, if you was the battle, you, Killer Mike, if you was the battle, who you think you would compare like with music?
I would. I just don't even. I don't even think I didn't got where I'm
who
going.
Who you think, yet. EFN, with him?
For Killer Mike, damn, that's crazy.
Yo, you know what? I want people to.
It would be someone lyrical.
Let me know.
Sure.
Y'all hit me
you know
up.
What I would like?
Who?
Killer Mike versus Killer Cam.
Oh, okay.
The battle of the killers.
Yeah. Listen, though, yo, Cam got more club bangers. So I would say on some records, philosophically, you got to say, like a fan said, my man, America HD said, me and Immortal Technique. Ooh. My man said.
You like, and Twista would be dope.
Yeah, Twista, I don't know, because Twista, I'm just thinking in terms of what we do being similar.
You're talking about, okay.
Like, you talking about like Cube.
Dead Prez, you and Immortal be duos. They'd be a duo.
Dan Prez would be doable. But again, I probably wouldn't do a versus because I'm just like, man, I just want a champ before that. My shit would be like T-Pain and Lil Jon.
I liked it that. I liked
like
it.
Like that was real. I don't know who shit got nasty. Thank God I didn't see Garrett and Dream, because I love both them.
I love both of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, like I don't see no R&B niggas fight. Too much hair color and diamonds and shit. I want to see more Lil Jon Dreams where they fans of each other. They what? Drunk out their motherfucking minds.
They all finished. Swiss and Timbaland started that. They were both drunk at first. The Swiss and Timbaland went for 5 hours.
And they had a lot of fun with it.
I got to get both of them brothers. I can't even act like that. They set the tempo. So if anybody actually watched the... Yeah, that was the first one. That's how the whole idea burst.
Yeah.
If you watch them, they really went for 5 hours. They got really drunk. You seen them start sober. They showed each other love. They bigged each other up. Similar
that's
how
what we
champ.
Need, man. Yeah, I don't...
Look at how great champs is. You know?
Yeah, we need less of y'all niggas getting y'all feelings, man. Y'all exactly. Niggas... Get out your feelings, man. Because the fans, honestly... We just fans of y'all. We just happy to hear 40 records for free. We ain't got to pay 40 for parking. We ain't got to pay $100 to get in the door. We ain't got to beg Alex to let us have a section with $1,000 off. Like, we just get to see. So let people enjoy y'all, man. Stop being assholes to each other. We love all y'all.
Yeah, that's real shit. That's real shit. That's real shit. Shit, God damn it. So, other than you going with T.I. and feeding people, have you been outside, like, just for the essentials, things like that?
No. If I got to go to the drugstore, I go. If I got to go to the grocers, you know my wife. What the fuck I'm going to do? I've been exercising in the yard, drinking water. you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, you know Shay ain't with that shit.
Right.
She let me go to the studio twice, because Tip Call. You know what I'm saying? But that was it.
Yeah, so, is it weird, though? Is it weird that, like, you know, like, cause, you know, like you said, you got to have homeboys who live in the city of Atlanta who probably, maybe there's a essential worker, maybe they're not. That's going to work. So, how is it when you're speaking to these guys?
My homies have hit me from prison, Georgia State prisons, and let me know what's going on and try to help them get the noise out. My homies who work for the city. And who do, you know, work at the airport and shit have been informing me. And my homies who work with school systems, a lot of my homies teach and coach and things of that nature. So I've been hearing and understanding and trying to pass good information on. Like one thing, if you guys watch my Trigger Warning show, you saw me introduce a black telephone company called Figures Wireless. It was started by Freddie Figures, a black Floridian, a good brother.
Hold on, go ahead. Hold on.
What in the fuck is this man doing?
Mike, actually, off of this, I want to connect you with somebody. We'll talk after.
Nigga.
Okay, absolutely.
Someone in Georgia that just came to mind.
Nori is reminded someone he's black. Okay, yeah, the Figures, nigga, yes! Yeah, so look, all right.
Come on, man. All right,
so Figures, that's why I think, hey, look at it. Look at it. Somebody screenshot that and send that to us, man.
Screenshot. Come on, baby.
So look, check it out, Nori. So I remember Freddie, the teacher was like, well, not the teacher, the school superintendent.
Come on, you from two bucks?
So our school superintendent, Maria Karska-Starpson, she's like, Mike, we have the food to feed the children. But we've run out of masks and gloves and smocks to serve them, right? And I'm talking about serving 20,000 families. Because the feds raised, it was you could just serve the kids who actually went to school. Then the Fed said, well, you can feed everybody. Now kids older than 18. And it just became a clusterfuck organizationally. And it was hard. Like, she was going crazy, but determined to get it done. I talked to Freddie randomly. And he was like, Mike, I got these masks and stuff coming in. Not only do I have them coming in, he spent about $3-4 million of his own money to try to help. He helped schools out in Florida. So he sends them 5,000 masks, gloves, mop, that so they can serve kids, right? So all this is happening off of rapid relationships. And then in my talks with her, we find out that a lot of kids don't have the capabilities from an internet perspective to do the work they need to do. We got them hooked up, and hopefully they're going to come up with a solution for Atlanta's kids. That's the type of things that I've been able to do by being home and just being able to take phone calls from people I know to hook good people up for the betterment of the bigger economy. My old art teacher pulled up to my gate, dropped off some plants, and said, your garden starts now. It ain't like you going on tour this summer. So I've actually started growing my own shit like my grandparents had taught me to as a kid. I go fishing with Greg Street tomorrow morning or the morning after. Like, I've gotten a chance to kind of reconnect with who I am. So I haven't been bored to the point of doing drugs and killing myself as much as just kind of relearning who the fuck Mike is, you know?
Right. If the average person that wants to do something, that has the ability to do something, but they home, wants to try and help somehow, what could they do?
So the first thing we could just do is this. I told everybody, I'm about to put this up on my thing. I'm going to go buy a little styrofoam cup. I'm going to get some black dirt, and I'm going to get a tomato seed, and we're going to grow a tomato. That's it. We're going to just grow a tomato to put over our salad one day, right? But the things that we can't...
We'll do it with you. We'll do it with you.
We'll do that. So one thing we can start doing is, if we have extra, check on the people 3 or 4 doors to our left and right that are old or that may be a young woman with children, right? If there are people in our vicinity that need water, that need supplies, let's make sure we have extra. We help, because if everyone does a little bit, no one has to do a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's really what, you know, one thing about being a rapper or a DJ is nobody gives a fuck what you got to say into a time of crisis, and then they don't want to know what you got. Like, if you just randomly said something like, I think, we don't pay you to think, you pay to do the drink champs, shut the fuck up. But if they need to get a message out to the drink champs audience, they come to you and say, hey, help us get this message out to tell people to stay in that. And you're like, yo, you just told me shut the fuck up. Well, I want you to say what I want you to say. What this has given us an opportunity to do is to, on a micro level, to take care of each other. There are things that are going to work in Brooklyn that are not going to work in Adamsville, that are going to work in Compton, that may not work in Inglewood. But we have to be about the business right now of, first of all, taking care of yourself, your own health. Like, my man Nori is one of the people who keeps encouraging me so I don't stop moving and sweating and eating better, you know what I mean? I don't fuck, I ain't never reached my goal. I've definitely got healthy each passing year. He's encouraged me. So we got to do that. Then you got to take care of your household, your own family, and then your community and the greater community. That's the greatest thing you can do right now. The greatest thing you can do right now is self-care, family care, and community care. And the rest, I promise, is going to start taking care of itself, because the solutions are going to come out of the stuff you're doing.
All right. Now Tekashi 6ix9ine just went live. Was you there?
I have no comment.
I had to ask. What'd you say? What'd you say?
I have no comment.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow
to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I couldn't believe, like, I seen, well, I didn't watch it live, obviously. Well, my friend pulled it up on WorldStar, and I never thought that, like, hip-hop would even be, like, this crazy. Did you? Like, I mean, and this is a question to both of you guys at this point. You thought this shit, EFN?
Hell no.
Yo, how about you, Killer Mike? Are you surprised in hip hop? Like, I mean, it's not that hip hop is accepting it.
I mean, are you blaming hip hop? I don't think that's.
I'm not blaming hip hop. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase my statement. Yeah. Like, I mean, you ever thought that our culture, like, will have a person like that exists? You know what I mean? Like, it was like 2 million people who tuned in. Like, what do you feel, Killer Mike? 2 million in 20 minutes. And he's bragging about it. Like, I'm like, I don't give a fuck if you had fucking 14 billion. You know what I mean? Like, he's actually like the Donald Trump of hip hop. Like Trump is.
People hate him, but people love him.
Yeah, people hate him, but people love him. What you think, Killer Mike? I'm sorry, I gotta get you to say something. I'm smoking too. You think this day would ever exist in hip hop where we have a person who blatantly, like, he's the Sammy the Bull times Donald Trump times all that together? You think that would ever existed in this? What do you think? No comment?
The silence says it all. Let it be. Next.
No problem. So you planning to open back up barbershop on June 1st? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We are the Shave, Wash, and Groom shop, man. We got one in the arena, the Hawks Arena. Shouts out to Trey Young. Right. Collins, man. Y'all was We on our way. You know, shouts out to Steve Koonin, who running over there. Shouts out the ownership. You know, shouts out my man Grant Hill, who's one of the minority owners over there. Like, I'm excited about getting back popping when basketball can get back popping. Our flagship store on 365 Edgewood Avenue is going to open. I would say look for it right at the top of June. And we got the original, the OG store down on Roosevelt Highway on the south side of Collin Park and Titty Boy and Bell Oak, them, they side of town. We opened up, you know, we were in the process of shooting to open 10 shops simultaneously, but this kind of, you know, made a step back and reevaluate. So we may roll out less shops, but the goal is 10 to 20 shops in the next 3 to 4 years.
And damn. So what was I about to say? Yeah, you have something to eat? I forgot what I was about to say.
No, I just think, what do you think, like, what do you think after we get over this whole quarantine and the pandemic stuff starts, you know, whatever, tampering down, which I don't know that it really ever will, because I don't know that we could trust all the information, but what do you think? Yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I'm letting you finish the question. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of coming out of the call.
No, I'm just wondering, like, how does everybody come out of this, and what do you think people's first steps should be? Like, the average person living, you know.
Man.
Like it just seems like, looking ahead, it seems like you're going uphill.
Simplicity, though, man. It's like, for as bad and as hard as this is, we have people that were alive during the Spanish flu. And yet they have survived and thrived and lived to be old. My grandparents were born in 1922 and 1932. You know, they have seen the grips of poverty in this country. They've seen this country prior to government intervention to help. They've seen it post. They saw it. And so I've never expected it to go smooth the whole ride. And we're entering some bumpy times. But I just know that I've always seen poor people endure, survive, and thrive. And right now, the people to be looking at are the people who have compassion and sympathy and empathy politically, and want to make sure that we get the right type of leadership. And they're also the people on ground level who are doing the work, like Tanya over at Park Kids and Gary down at Next Level Boys Academy, that are making sure that, you know, people have substance to eat, their mentality is stable. Those are the people we need to look to for leadership. We as entertainers and artists, our job is not always to think of the great idea, but to magnify the great idea. And there are people on local level that are doing stuff where you at home, and that's who you should be helping. And you should be, if there's a gardening center in your home and you got time, what better time? And I don't mean something you got to pay for at the Home Depot. There's someone in your community trying to teach children to garden. Get up out of the sofa at what point is you feel safe and go help them tote some bags and to do some things. Because that knowledge of growing that tomato that we're going to do in a window seal together is going to help you in 10, 20 years and actually 10 months to be a stronger person. We can't depend on government. I'm going to just be honest. Mm-hmm. We can require, we can hope, we can help, we can make things happen. But in the immediate, on a very day-to-day basis, you got to depend on yourself.
Self-sufficiency.
You got to help your neighbors. You know, and that's hard to hear in places like New York, Boston, Philadelphia, and Connecticut. But once you start going upstate and once you start getting to rural areas, it all turns into kind of what we've grown up around in the South. And we're going to have to start figuring out some alternative ways to be happy than shopping. You know, we're going to have to start figuring out what else makes us happy. Being together, taking a walk, you know, when Nori was running and jogging. So for me, I have taken this time to understand that this very simple living that made me happy as a child. And my children are not worse off for having to live simply now, you know, and we're going to have to start to accept that maybe a version where we have less equals more versus, you know, versus having too much. And I want people in this panic not to give up their freedoms. You know, we have a lot of constitutional freedoms in this country, and I don't want us to get so scared we give up everything. You know, I want us to be able to not have government tell us what to put in our bodies. So, you know, pay attention to everything that's being given. I saw, you know, and this is not the hill I die on, but I saw something I didn't appreciate. I saw Virginians come out, black, white, short, tall, all type of ethnicities together a few months ago and tell the governor, no, we want our Second Amendment rights. And then I saw quietly when this happened, him pressing order that kind of wiped away people's will and what they wanted to see. And even though usually I vote for his party, I just didn't think that was a good move. And it's the same guy who was in blackface at once in his life. So why would somebody who's ever done that and understands the pain and troubles that he caused and the pain and troubles of black people want to de-arm a constituency that consists of black people as well? So I'm just watching out for all the okey-doke shit. I'm listening to a lot of Goody Mob. I'm trying to keep my mind calm, and I'm trying to do what I can on a daily basis for myself and help those who cannot help themselves. And that's the very simple, honest answer. I don't have a big structural answer for you, but I tell you, if you can't control anything else, you can control your own mind. And take some time and focus on that, and we can start to evolve and progress from there.
Now, what happens if Biden chooses the vice president as Stacey Adams? Stacey Abrams or Kamala Harris. What happens if he does elect his vice president to be a black woman? Is that a step?
I don't think Biden beats Trump. I think Sanders was the strongest possible chance of beating Trump, because you don't beat Magneto with Magneto-like. You beat Magneto with Professor X, someone who is the antithesis. If Biden's policy becomes the antithesis of Trump's policy, and if his policy becomes reflective of a truly progressive policy, I think it's possible to win with whoever he picks. But again, because I've only talked about policy this interview. You brought up a few personalities. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with invoking Kamala Harris or Stacey Abrams. There's nothing wrong with invoking Nina Turner, who really is qualified to be president of this country. There's nothing wrong with invoking Tejslin Fogarty, you know, who's qualified to definitely be anybody's vice president and secretary of state. Just to me, let's invoke the people with truly progressive policy, not just the personality, you know, that we like. So who's running for president with a policy that trumps Trump? And if we don't have that, we still got enough time to fix that.
That's crazy, man. Well, there you have it, man. I think we got your time. We got into your.
And like he said, go listen to Goody Mob.
Go listen. Hey, all I would do right now.
Self therapy.
The first two Goody Mob albums are all I listen to this week.
Wow. Okay, I gotta get into my Goody Mob, man.
Get into your first two Goody Mobs. Get into that Dead Prez. I say get into that Ice Cube, the second one,
America's Most Wanted.
No.
Oh no, Death Certificate.
It's the second one. Death Certificate.
Oh, I'm thinking of the EP. My bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was Kill at Will. Kill at Will was the EP, but I get into Death Certificate.
Death Certificate is one of the best albums of all time.
Of all fucking time. Yeah. I definitely get in. And there are many others from K-Will to the Coop, but I definitely get those four records. Those two Goody Mob. That cue, and I forgot the other one I said, but get into those. Oh yeah, man, BBP, what the fuck am I thinking, man? If you're not listening to Chris Black Cop right now, watching that bullshit go down in New York, like, man, shot, man, to that brown police officer that put his knee on that child's head, in your lifetime, you have been scared a cop was gonna do that to you, and you're a piece of shit bully for what you did to that child.
Wow.
In your lifetime, you have been afraid of a cop was gonna do that to you. And you're a piece of shit bully for doing that to that child.
Yeah, I can't lie. Sometimes, like, it's like brutal following like my brother Mike's song, because he posts all of that and like
he does.
And he's
valuable to community. Thank you, Mike's song. Real talk. Yes, and thank you, Tamika. You know, absolutely. Thank you, Mike's
song. Tamika Harris, right?
Tamika Harris.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Big them all up, man. But like, it's painful to see that we still go through this shit. Like that, like it's 1920. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's painful, man. It's real painful, man.
It all can stop if we ever organize. Bobby Seale, I think, said we're not outnumbered, we're out organized. If I'm telling you, if every single time this happened, Dick Gregory said this, kill Christmas. If we're angry enough to say we're not spending no money from Black Friday forward, we're not spending no money. We're not spending no Thanksgiving money. We're not spending no Christmas money. We're not spending no Kwanzaa money, no first of the year money. We're not spending shit. We're not even coming outside tomorrow King Day watch this country doing about face. 40% of all U.S. profits from retail come in at those times of the year. So what are we willing to do? Who are we willing to, like, if you're not going to take to the streets with guns and rifles and ammunition, how, the only other way in capitalism you hurt anyone is to punish their pockets. On a local level, if you vote the right people in, you can make it, you can make it so that the officer can be sued if they're found guilty of that. He can lose his fucking pension. So let's start. You can make it, you can make it so. It's a longer campaign, but you can make it so that once convicted of a crime, like first you can make it so that the police has to have an authoritative community review board. So you don't just have just the police and just the police unions and the politicians. Now you can empower a community review board to be in review to officer policy as well. You can make sure that regular people are on that board and you have civil rights and independent counsel on that board. You can make that happen. You can get that through legislators. Now, that's going to take a couple of years, but while you call out every cop, while you film them, while you put their name and addresses out, make sure that you're doing something under those gold domes to make it punishable, to make it so that this, because when they say, well, the city had to pay out, them your tax dollars, punish their pockets, punish their pensions, punish their retirements, punish the politicians that protect them. When that punishment starts getting added out of the capitalist system, when money stops getting spent at stores, well, why don't black people want to buy joints on more? They're protesting. Well, what are they protesting? They're protesting police brutality. Well, what does that have to do with us? Nothing. Nike's going to go to every legislator and says, we don't know what the fuck is going on, but our sales of Jordans and Air Force Ones are down. Get your dogs in check and back in a cage. You will see public policy change in the immediate.
That was real. That was all.
Now, I could give you the alternative, but that would call death and bloodshed. And I truly don't think that's what Americans want. You know, Americans have to do what we're going to do. And I think it should be economics.
But just for, you know, fuck's sake, what is the alternative?
Well, you got to listen to more white people. They'll tell you. They'll talk a whole you. More about it when they seceded from the union. Y'all have a great day, man. I love y'all.
Yeah, love you, man. All love.
Thank you for joining us.
All right, love.
All right. Yeah, how do we do that? Good looking, Mike. All right, that was all. Yeah.
What's going on, dog? All
right, so.
I follow you on Instagram. I know about Instagram.
My G.
Yeah. So we got Shannon Briggs on here. We recorded, right? Everything recorded, right? So we're hearing there's a rumor that Mike Tyson is getting back in the ring. And not only is we hearing that Mike Tyson is getting back in the ring, but we're hearing one of his opponents potentially is no other than the champ right here, Drink Champ. We need to hear. Is that a possibility?
I think it is possibility. We're working on it, Nori. I'm going to be honest with you. First and foremost, I want to say it's a pleasure and an honor to be here finally talking to y'all two, because I'm a big fan of both of y'all.
No, I appreciate you.
Everybody and their grandmother be like, yo, champ, you need to be on there. But it's all good. We're going to get to that later. But the most important thing is right now, Mike Tyson is shaking up the boxing world. Mike Tyson is shaking up the boxing world. Even Donald Trump tweeted, yo, Mike Tyson, come back, blah, blah, blah.
So, right. I saw that.
He the hottest thing in the world right now is Mike Tyson. We all love him. And my thinking is this, Paulie. You know what I'm saying? I'm a 30-year-plus veteran of the game. And my whole thinking is this. What's better than being Mike Tyson for charity and for exhibition? I don't know if these people know this. You guys hear me? I
heard a bunch of noise. Who's the AK?
That's all right. It's gone, right?
Yeah, I don't hear no more. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No, what I was saying was, you know, for the most part, is that you guys see me and me?
But here, who's, is it AK? Who's the AK?
That's Ock.
Oh, Ock, to tell Ock to come in.
Who, Akinelli?
Come on in, brother.
Akinelli's on? Come on, Ock.
Akinelli, come on. Hit your camera.
That's my brother.
Yeah, come on, Ock, hit your camera.
Let's go, champ.
We know you joined the Taliban, Ock. Come on, hit the camera.
tune in on mutual.
There we go. What's up?
Yo, we right here live in the E. What's the deal?
Yeah, what's good?
I'm right here. I'm right here.
Hey, yo, hey, so Nori, your camera this way,
hey, yo, Nori.
There you go.
Yo, right. Nori, I came to my crib. And he was like, oh, Ak, my man from back day. Ak always rock with me. He support me. I love him. He know the family. He family me. He came by my crib, and I said, yo, you the next Don King. He came up with the tag, the Thriller in Browns Villa. You feel me?
I seen that image, too. That shit's already all over the place.
That was Akinelli's idea, the Thriller in Browns Villa. Akinelli's the next Don King.
Wait. Ak, you in your mobile home right now?
I'm in my mobile home right now, man. I'm in my mobile home. We going, we traveling right now. We promoting the Don King. This is Akinelli. Akinelli. Not Don King. Akinelli. I got this hair going wild like Don King over here. We promoting the Shannon Briggs attack right now. Both of them from Brownsville. It used to be the Thriller of Manila. Now it's the Thriller of Brownsville. We might have Layla Ali as the referee. Yes, it's going to be fight. It's in New York City. Definitely. It's the fight against COVID. You know, we give him back to the people. Mike Tyson, Shannon Briggs. Let's go. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us tonight. Welcome. You now tuned in to the Drink Champs. Yes, I'm your co-host, Akmel. Shannon, talk to them.
Let's go, champ. Okay, so look, so just in case, right? Just in case, fellas, we understand that this exhibition is very, like, it's important. Just in case, let's say Tyson picks somebody else. Are you willing to do an exhibition with somebody else until Tyson comes back? And, like, you know what I mean?
Just hey, Nori, I'm willing to fight anybody, anytime. I ran down on Klitschko. I ran down on Wilder. I ran down on Hay. I've been knocking on doors. Ain't nobody answering. You feel me? I'm on my shit. I'm a New Yorker, just like you. You heard? I ain't scared of nobody, son. You know what I mean? I ain't scared of nobody, son. I rep in New York. I rep the world. I'm the people's champ. I don't need no belt. I just need the people. I'm like you. You the champ of the people, Nori. The people love you. We love you because you rep. That's how I am in boxing. People, I'm the people's champ.
Wait, Ak, you driving? I'm
driving right now. I'm on South Beach. We still on the bus. Yes, don't worry about it. You're gonna be anywhere. I'm gonna take you to the ocean. But right now we're promoting the Shannon Briggs event with Mike Tyson. We're gonna love it. Yes, E, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Make sure we in front row. Big chance.
I think y'all need to be the commentators.
Though. Oh, we in. We automatically in.
This is what it is. Commentators, real talk. That's right. Noriega, EFN, the commentators. It's going to go down. We want to do it at the Barclay. It's only right. It's Brooklyn. Nori, call home. You know, it'd be funny, but, you know, call home, man. Get it on at the Barclay, man. And we're going to have fun with it. Yes.
Yeah. Or we can do it at the Met Stadium, wherever y'all want to do.
No, it got to be the Barclay. It's Brooklyn.
True. I think there's a whole area for, like you know, it's a bare knuckle underground, like they got the BX Fight Club. You know, Kimbo Slice has started something. Like, I
rest
think
in peace, Kimbo Slice.
Yeah, I think rest in peace is Kimbo Slice. I think there's an area where there's an actual league of people. You know what I'm saying? What do you think? Who does a person qualify for you to fight, Shannon? Like, let's suppose, you know what I mean? You wanted to do a warm-up fight before this.
I think they have some boxing experience, like a real boxer. Like, you got Klitschko, David Haye want to come back, James Tony talking slick. Holyfield coming back. They all older than me, but you know what I'm saying? You know, I'll take it light on them. Nah, I'm just joking.
Hey, talk that talk.
Because this could be like...
I won't take it light.
Like, instead of rap, this could be like, you know, like I see the Klitschko brothers all the time in Hollandale. I see them in Hollywood, Hollandale all the time.
Me too.
The rest of the Klitschko brothers. So that could be something that's crazy. They retired too. You know what I'm saying? Which one you prefer? Which Klitschko you prefer? You don't even care.
I fought one of the brothers, but I fought him with one arm. My arm broke in the first round. Oh, I fought him for 12 rounds with one arm. I took a loss, but I didn't get knocked out. Then I was like, yo, he retired. I was trying to get the brother I was chasing him all around the world. He live in Hollywood. I be seeing him sometime. He be ducking me. You know what I'm saying? He a sucker.
Bye.
Yeah, sucker.
Yeah. Yo, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
You on Ocean Drive right now?
Right now. We're on Ocean. I'm going past Prime 112 right now.
Prime 112, like a motherfucker.
And Prime 112. We're out here riding. Definitely.
Is that a rap vehicle?
Yo, give me some.
This is a bus. We live on the bus. We live on the road. I mean, man, I'm quarantining on the bus right now. What do you want me to do?
That's the best way to quarantine. You at home, you moving.
I have an underlying illness, so I have to quarantine. I've been suffering from erectile dysfunction my whole life. So I with the Viagra and the COVID in my chest and my heart, I can't play. But right now we're here. We're promoting E and Nori, and we appreciate you guys for giving us the platform. It's for Shannon Briggs and Tyson a fight. Who else in the world wanted see beside that? When we was growing up, we're New Yorkers. They were our heroes. So finally, before we go out, I mean, you got the Holy Spirit, you got everybody else there, but it's like we've seen that already. We've seen that. This is for the street. This is for New York City. This is for the people who used to slap box on their block right there. This is what we want to see right now, what's happening right now. Yes. Shannon Briggs, Mike Tyson, Barclays Center. It's all Brooklyn, man. And I'm from Queens. I'm biased. I'm from Queens. But it's all Brooklyn, man. And then Brooklyn comes to the world. Yes.
I tell people like this. Everybody from Queens is second generation, third generation Queens. They really from Brooklyn. Everybody.
Girl, definitely.
Everybody.
But I'm not going to lie. To everybody that's on here, we all seen that footage of Tyson. The guy holding the gloves looked like he was dead. Clear. Like, you sure? Like, what do you say when you see that, Shannon?
I say, damn, he still got it, bro. He still got it at 53. He looked like a fucking monster. You feel me? But the whole thing is, you know, it's like, look, you know, he's from the Ville. I'm from the Ville. I love him. I just did the show. We waiting to launch it because we're doing a movie called Never Ran, Never Will. My man from Cocaine Cowboys, my man Billy Corbin, he shot it. You know what I'm saying? Billy Corbin. Called Never Ran. Yeah, my man Billy's called Never Ran, Never Will. So we was like, yo, we gonna drop the episode when we drop the film. But
and that's about Brownsville? Me,
huh?
That's about Brownsville, Never Ran, Never Will.
About Brownsville. You got three former heavyweight champions, Mike Tyson, Riddick Bowe, myself, all from Brownsville. You got Zab Judah, Curtis Stevens, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, Danny Jacob. We got a new kid coming up named Shushu, undefeated. So, you know, Brownsville always been a ghetto, you know what I'm saying? Since the 1800s, 1700s. So right now, we trying to, we, you know, we're doing a movie about Brownsville itself. And then the whole thing to this whole thing, Nori and EF, is that we want to open up a gym in Brownsville called the Brownsville Boxing Academy. You know what I'm saying? Mm. To leave a legacy to help a lot of kids. Like myself, I was a homeless teenager growing up in Brooklyn. Mike as well. We both was homeless. We both found boxing to get off the streets and make a life for ourselves. So we talked about it. We talked it up for 4 hours, chopped it up. And then we started moving forward with the movie because we think it'll be something that people would love to see. Aside from that, Mike coming back gives the opportunity for this to really happen. This is Mike. It's up to Mike now because 600, 700 kids died last year. You know what I'm saying? In Brooklyn, shootings and all type of crazy shit. We need to stop this. Brownsville has to produce some great fighters. Mike Tyson, Riddick Bowe, you know what I'm saying? Zab Judah. We don't even know how many great fighters have come out of Brownsville or Brooklyn itself, because there ain't really no gyms like that. You feel me?
Right. Yo, so Akinyele.
Yes, sir.
The Versus thing going on right now. Who would you battle on the Versus? Could you battle me?
Nah. If it's a Versus thing right now, I'm good. I'm good for one song. I'm good. I mean, it would just be put it in your mouth against Doodle Brown. That's it.
I was gonna say, Luke.
We're gonna go right and put it in your mouth against Doodle Brown. That's it. I'm going for put it in your mouth. Put it in your mouth against Doodle Brown. That's it.
That's a good one.
Then we just got to bring girls out. It got to be late night.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. My first tours was with Akinyele. Akinyele would put on the greatest performance. He would have regular dancers He would have strippers. They would do a banana show with a banana with chocolate. And like, yo, listen, like Akinelli is one of the most phenomenal for all damn. I wanted him to hear this. Jesus.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Nah, you, a lot of people don't know how you touched that stage. I see you just did the loud thing.
Yes. Yes, it was dope. I went to the Loud Hangover 25th anniversary. It was at Radio City Music Hall. It was real good. It was epic. It was like you wait 30 years, you're the underground rapper that never gets there, right? And then 30 years, you come on the loud stage of Radio City Music Hall, and then you say, yo, my name is Akinelli, and the crowd goes crazy. And you said, that's what I came in this shit for 30 years ago. And you get out. And finally, when you get it, you look up, and you look at God, and you say, I am now ready to die. You can take me right here. We did it. What? The planet is yours again. Yes. Right now, in case you're just tuning in, you're watching Drink Champs Live and Direct, EFN, DJM, VFN, Noriega. And we got Stan and Briggs live and direct. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us tonight. Close to the ladies, or you will pay child support. Yes, yes. Shannon Briggs, Mike Tyson. Take it away, Shannon.
Yeah, so let's go, Chad. So that's what we said. Shannon Briggs against Mike Tyson right now, live.
Yes, Shannon Briggs against Mike Tyson. This is the fight in New York. This is the fight in Brooklyn. This is the only place it should be at is the Barclays Center. No people, just straight Instagram, just straight internet, just straight on Drink Champs. They have to come through Drink Champs. This is the only it's going to come through Drink Champs, Mike Tyson them, at the Barclay, Shannon Briggs. It happens live. For opening fights, we're going to have rappers slap boxing. That's it. That's how we got to go. Rappers just got to slap.
We're going to have verses live.
Verses live. We'll probably get some rappers slap boxing.
Timbaland against Swiss Beats live.
Live. Exactly. Exactly, and definitely do it, and we can make it happen. Yes, right here. Akin Yelly. It used to be Don King, now it's Akin. My ears extremely wild. I like the hero and Don King. Yes.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
Let's suppose this actually happens, right? Let's suppose. What would the league be called? What would it be called? Life After Boxing?
Oh, the Legends League.
Legends League. I like Legends League.
The Legends League.
LL. Like Legends
That's
League.
Right. LL. Shout out to LL.
LL.
The greatest. GOAT. The GOAT.
Oh, name it. Yes.
Legendary LL. Mama said knock you out.
LL Boxing.
That'd be the official song for the league.
Facts. I'm on Drink Champs. my wife came out screaming on me. I said, chill, I'm on Drink Champs.
Let's go, champ. Yeah. He's still drinking, too. We were calling
Yes.
Yeah, she came screaming on me. I'm like, yo, chill. I'm on Drink Champs.
Real shit. Yeah.
Chill, man, chill.
Yo, so how have you been quarantining, Shannon? How have you been quarantining?
You know, I've been, it's funny because I've been doing this 12 years. I've been just staying in the crib training and going out for specific reasons. So for me, it's regular shit. You know, I've been down here 24 years in Miami. This is home for me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm regular. I'm used to staying in the crib. I'm out here, as you can see. I'm in the backyard. You know what I mean? Shit is cool. It ain't Brooklyn. You know what I mean? Let's go, right. Champ.
I see you. And same question for you, Akinelli. How you been quarantining?
I've been quarantining inside of a tour bus, just hanging out. So it's crazy because when the bus pulls up on people, it's the bus in your face. You get it? The bus in your face. Yes. So it's still art imitating life. The bus in your face.
You know, you got bars.
Bars. That's what it is. So I've been quarantined on the bus. We have a nice bus. We have an oven, everything. I have a, you know, everything. A bedroom back there. I mean, it's the only place. It's the bus. When you see the bus pull up, officially the bus is in your face. The bus in your face. Watch out.
Yo, so listen. I'm not only praying that this fight happens. I'm praying that you get an exhibition before this so we can actually, you know, go out and bug out with you. You know, I'm a big fan of your attitude, Shannon. Every time,
thank you, champ.
You know, you always positive. You walk in the building, you let's go, champ. You know, that's our thing as well. Drink champ. So, you know,
yeah, I already know.
Next time, we you know, hopefully, we can do this in person. Akinelli's like, you know, damn near my like the first person I kicked my third rat to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's my goal.
Akinelli from collect calls from jail, and he's sack my shit. I used to kick rhymes to him, and my shit was horrible. He was like, keep going. He never told me I was whack. He was like, keep going.
And you made it here. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
no doubt. I want to say, too, I could put you on to this. I'm a big hip-hop fan. I'm a big hip-hop head. I can tell you I love hip-hop, and I'm a big fan of yours. I know all your raps. So if you ever need a hype man to finish your verse, I got you. I can tell you. I know all your shit, Jeff, all of it.
But what I do want to do is me and EFN, when this shit boils down, me and EFN go train with you, because what we will do is, like, you know, every year we've been planning on us, like, you know, I thugged out, go against EFN's crew at Crazy Hood and do a paintball thing or a handball tournament. But we want to put together like the Drunk Olympics, where you could be like the trainer for all of us, and we just do just
that's live.
It's a couple of different things. So you'll be the official trainer, you and my man Giant, and like it will be like some funny shit.
That's live, son. That's live. That's
called the Drunk Olympics. Right, so like instead of Gatorade, we handing out Heinekens and Ace of Spain.
Yeah, that's live. Why don't y'all stand back and man can see y'all real quick? Why don't y'all give him a shot showing what's going on? All right, well look, I want to say the ladies want to say hello.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Let's go, champ.
We have a happy hour going on.
Right, they got happy hour starting. They setting off happy hour.
Happy hour, hey!
Let's go. Hey, Nora, I want to thank you and EF. I appreciate you guys. Yeah. I love you guys, man. Support.
Appreciate you.
I'm with you to the end.
I got thank you. I
appreciate you.
Yes.
No, what's up with the strip club? You opening another strip club, or the strip club is on the bus now?
Strip club is on the bus. It's called The Bus in Your Face. Right now, I got the new club, King of Diamonds, coming in Las Vegas. We're putting that together right now. We're having fun right now, too. Put In Your Mouth Records is also hosting the Mike Tyson Shannon Briggs fight. Put In Your Mouth Records is fun. It got artists like Super Bossa Nova, DJ Luke Nasty, Wale Coyote from Empire. We're having fun. And we want to thank you. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us tonight, and we appreciate it. Drink champs. DJ.
Salute.
Yes,
salute,
yes, salute, yes. Salute. EFN, Nori, love y'all.
Let's go, champ. Thank you, salute. Thank you, guys. Let's go, champ.
Thank you, champs.
That was all.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Drink Champs, hosted by yours truly, DJ EFN and NORE. Please make sure to follow us on all our socials. That's at Drink Champs across all platforms, at The Real Noriega on IG, at Noriega on Twitter. Mine is at Who's Crazy on IG, at DJ EFN on Twitter. And most importantly, stay up to date with the latest releases, news, and merch by going to drinkchamps.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids.
Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.